Hey guys, just want to let you know the Patreon is up. Check it out, patreon.com/Beer City Media Podcast for all your extra Beer City Media needs. Now on with the show.
Vienna, Austria. Reporters, photographers, and fans greet the film celebrities as they disembark. Tony Curtis had recently become a proud father. His lovely actress wife, Christine Kaufman, carries their firstborn, a girl. Mrs. Jack Lemmon is also famous as a star in her own right, Felicia Farr. Arriving on a later flight, Natalie Wood has to run a similar gauntlet. Traveling is much more complicated for a celebrity than it is for a private citizen. Especially during arrivals, you really have to be on your toes, always ready with a quick smile, as much poise and elegance as you can muster after a long trip, and quotable answers to rapid-fire questions from the eager press. One free day in Vienna, Natalie Wood set out to do some sightseeing on her own. It was a good idea, but she didn't reckon with photographers, who kept asking her to pose for just one more, until her free day sort of disappeared. However, Natalie did manage to have some fun along the way in the Volksprater, Vienna's popular amusement park. The arrival of Natalie Wood on the set causes a stir among Austrian fans working as extras. Her costume is unconventional, to say the least. She discusses its finer points with director Blake Edwards before they resume shooting.
Welcome to Conspiracy Therapy Podcast with Ryan and Larry.
Kicking it old school.
That's right. For our we're going back in time. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the Natalie Wood conspiracy. Interwebs, Ryan and Larry, we are the oldest of friends. I would say we have gestated this birth in some ways of this Beer City Media thing. You're the main brain. You were super smart, and I just was like, you're charismatic and funny. Let me jump on your bandwagon.
Well, if the newer listeners would like to know, if we're going way back, there was three of us who did a comedy skit based podcast called Beer City Spaceship, which dissolved, and then Marty and I went on to do Ephes, and then you came to me with an idea of a conspiracy based podcast. And I was all in. This sounded like a great idea to me. It was going to be you, me, and a rotating guest, if I'm not mistaken.
True. Very true.
A rotating guest stuck around for another 5 years or so. 4 years. How long have we been doing this?
And then we tagged his wife into it.
Yes. because Josh is very talented. If you didn't know that already, he's funny, well-spoken. And he also does some stuff behind the scenes. I mean, he produces clips for me, which took a lot of pressure off of me. He does things, a lot of things behind the scenes you don't know about. He earns his keep, basically, and we pay him nothing. So take that for what it's worth.
He keeps coming back, and thank God he does, because we need that kind of help.
Yeah, we're going to miss him in April at the show, but we'll give you the best we
God. Can. We will. We will. We're going to talk an old school Hollywood conspiracy. So we're going back to Hollywood.
Hollywood. I know. I was like, Hollywood 70s. I'm going to talk like it's the 40s.
Yeah, I always do too. Everything I say ends with "sing."
I can almost see you chomping on a cigar.
Yeah, just yeah. If it was a Camel Crush Menthol Silver, it would make sense because that's me. But yeah,
trench coat and a what are those, trilbies?
Yeah, or like a bowler cap.
Bowler cap, yeah. If you're super old school.
Yeah. So, Larry, this was your suggestion. Now, what did you know about this beforehand?
You know, I heard the topic came up very briefly on the Howard Stern, like in an old Howard Stern show clip I was listening to. And it was just kind of like, oh, yeah, that's right. She may have been thrown off a boat. Like, like how did that...
Possibly by an old school Hollywood actor, Robert Wagner, but also Christopher Walken, who becomes so interesting to me in this whole case, because I just wondered, like, and I know you've got a Christopher Walken on deck as far as like his nuance, but I think you might have my favorite Christopher Walken, because it's all based on just taking big breaks before he talks.
He does, yeah. He's like, what I found out without talking. It's not, the voice isn't that good, but it's the pacing that makes the Christopher Walken.
It does. Well, it's funny too, because I think he's from Pennsylvania, so he's around Pittsburgh or the other big city from Pennsylvania. He has this nuance to his voice where it's very Anthony Jeselnik.
Yes.
If you want to go with like, because he grew up in the same spot, and if you ever listen to Anthony Jeselnik, it's the same cadence, like verbatim. I don't know if they're just all stopping it's in weird moments.
There's definitely a lot of, you think like Southern accent, Northern accent, but there really is. There's like the East Coast has an accent, like Pennsylvania. Especially Philadelphia has its own little accent thing. Maryland, Baltimore, that area's got, you know, its own cadence and accents. It's America's really interesting in that way.
It is. Yeah. And I would say it's funny too, because I've been on a kick lately where I've been watching, I decided to go through like franchises that I love. But I've never seen all the movies. So it'd be like if we watched all the James Bond movies. Or where I'm at right now, I've been watching all the Friday the 13th movies, and they're like these perfect time capsules of the fashion and nuance of the time. Like, I'm more interested in that than I'm any characterization going on. I'm having a great time.
I was rather surprised you hadn't seen all the Friday the 13th. I just figured you had.
It's funny because I love the initial output of certain big trending horror films, like when it comes to Nightmare on Elm Street or Halloween's, but I really was struck by how well maintained the lore was in the Friday the 13th. So I was just having a really good time and like shocked by the fact that like it felt to me like these were comedies these were Scream-esque comedies before Scream even came around. Like, the meta commentary happens probably in like Friday the 13th 4. Like, they're already just like jumping on the bandwagon of like, this is stupid. Obviously nudity and weed leads to death or whatever. It, like, it's so funny to me to watch, because it has this cadence, and I guess this will tie into this whole Natalie Wood thing, where, do you remember when you were a kid and your parents, maybe your parents didn't watch this, but you were privy to like the old time kind of 50s era horror movies. And it would be like The Blob from Mars.
The special effects are fantastic in those.
They are, and they're... but it's like, you watch it, and you're like, how did anybody think this was scary? Yeah. Like,
I'm like, that's just a tarantula on a... Like, they would just like release a live tarantula on this. It looked like Green Army Men. I'm like, they don't even look real.
Right, but in the 50s, like, half the audience ran out screaming and hurling.
They probably lost their minds, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And so, with me, it's me revisiting that era for us, and those movies end up being kind of the black and white kind of thing, because nothing's scary about it. Like, the premises are so tried and true.
They kind of feel like B movies that somehow made it big.
Right. Yes. Yeah. No. It.
So here's my question:
Okay. Go ahead.
So are we gonna look at, like? And I never watched this movie for obvious reasons, but like, what are horror films gonna be like that make Hostel look like a piker's trip to the grocery market? I mean,
I'm terrified for the future, because I know we have such a high mark we have to hit.
You have to keep going.
You do. And that's what's scary, is like, that, like, right now I've seen.
Do you think they'll just start like throwing like puppies and babies into lawnmowers or some shit? I mean, that's what they're going to have to do to get your attention at some point.
Oh my god.
You're like putting a bunch of kittens through a wood chipper is like the only way you're gonna evoke a reaction.
Whoa, bro, have you seen the newest Mutilation 2023? It's the greatest film I've ever seen. Like, when that baby's jaw goes flipping towards the camera,
It's the horror film you've been waiting for. It's Kitten in a Mitten. It's just ground up kittens put into mittens. And there's your film.
Right. No, you're right. You're completely right. And those things do bother me, because I'm like, I love the nuance of those Jason movies, so I want to see them keep happening. But I know that like somebody out there is like, well, we got to push the envelope. And I don't want to see that. At this point, we've already hit that. Like, please, just show me boobs, teens smoking weed. And it's okay if they get hacked up. Just don't throw kittens into anything.
Yeah, let's... We're good. The only way we can get their attention now is if we microwave a parrot. And just for old school sakes, there'll be a parrot button on the microwave, like right next to between potato and popcorn. There'll be parrot.
Tweet, tweet. This sucks. Tweet, tweet. That is the worst.
Yeah, they'll play Rockin' Robin as the little thing is turning with the parrot in the microwave.
As soon as he explodes, it's just like, well, song's done.
That's one of the funniest things. Chicken.
A microwaving Robin. Mm-hmm. I love it. All right, Natalie Wood. So let's we're talk doing an about episode. This.
I forgot.
It's true.
It's just this
true
bullshit like we do when we're off. Mike.
It's fine. I love it. I love it. That's who we are. So Natalie Wood, she was also born as Natalie Nikolvina Zakharnaka.
No wonder she went with Wood.
I get it. She was born July 20th, 1938, November 29th, 1981. So she would be a Scorpio, I think. Who knows? I'm not super knowledgeable on zodiacs, but I'm just saying if you're curious. So she was an American actress who began her career. Okay, so she died November 29th, 1981. So technically she was born July, which I think July 20th would make her Gemini. So she was began her career in film as a child actor and successfully transitioned to young adult roles. She was the recipient of four. This is impressive. Four Golden Globes and three Academy Award nominations. So she was a decent actress in her time.
Clearly.
I mean, legitimately, like, doing things. And she's also, I mean, I'm looking at a picture of her. She's gorgeous. So
she's scalding she hot.
She's, ouch. Ouch.
Boiling.
Ouch. Hot. Born in San Francisco to Russian immigrant parents, Wood began her acting career at age four and was given a co-starring role at age eight in Miracle on 34th Street.
Oh, wow.
From 1947. Do you watch those old-timey, like, I was always curious about this because you're a big Christmas fan, right?
Yes.
Like, you're a holiday guy.
Yeah.
Do you watch... What's the movie? The Christmas movie that everybody like thinks about their life, and the guy's like, "I'll throw a lasso around the moon and bring it down to you."
It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life. Yes. Do you watch that every holiday? Or
I do not. We watch A Christmas Story. That's
great movie.
Yeah, that's from from when I was a kid. We've been watching that. I like Elf. That's a good one. The old timey stuff is great. A little singy and dancey for me.
Yeah, I you know what? It's funny because being the, you know, I wouldn't say you're too much older than me, but like we have a lot of the same nuance when it comes to holidays. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm like I'm a little boy when it comes to Halloween, but mm-hmm. like
Aaron's working on me with that. She's trying to get me into Halloween. I like scaring the kids, so that part's fun.
Which is great because you can do that. I guess for me, like I want to appreciate Christmas more, and it's not my job that pushed me away. Mm-hmm. It actually is life circumstances, things that happened when I was a kid.
Okay.
That kind of make it a little rough. So it honestly, my job, my male prostitute job really helps me around Christmas, but it's also, the older I get, the more I appreciate it. And like, I've seen It's a Wonderful Life plenty of times, and even I've watched Miracle on 34th Street and appreciated it. It's funny to think that she was the little girl, which is crazy to me because I'm looking at her fully grown.
That's a pretty big gig. That's a pretty big gig.
Yeah, well, so as a teenager, she earned a nomination for the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress for her performance in Rebel Without a Cause.
That's
in 1955.
Crazy. As a teenager, I was picking my boogers.
Right. Yeah. I was eating your boogers. So, but no, it is crazy because she would have been matched up with James Dean at the time who, I mean, he was it. No, he's a smoke show too. Like if you look at pictures of him, it's like, damn.
Like I would have like his it's sad because he had I mean god what he could have done.
Yeah, he was Heath Ledger before Heath Ledger. He was I mean we went through a period, I would say,
where we both had male sex symbols who were younger guys like Leonardo DiCaprio or Brad Pitt. Which for me is why I love Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And I won't talk about it too much because
I adore that movie. And I adore that movie. I should have watched it when it came out. I didn't. And it's like, it kind of fell to the wayside, but you bring that up. I definitely have to see that. It looks really good.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time, mostly because they do such a great job of honoring this era, but also Brad and Leo are, it's like a bromance movie.
Okay.
And for me, I love that. I love when two actors obviously like each other and they're just having fun. So it's almost like if you meet two people who have like a really good friendship, and I know April hates Quentin Tarantino. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. I adore April and her opinion, but with that movie specifically, I just had such a great time and I get where she's coming from, but at the same time, I love it. So during the 1970s, Wood began a hiatus from film and had a child with husband Robert Wagner, who's going to come up, who she had previously married and divorced, which seems like such a common thing with these Hollywood types. Like, I'm kind of surprised Brad and Angelina didn't like divorce like three times and get back together. But I feel like Brad walked in and she was like, I just ordered 17 kids from Somalia. Is that cool?
Amazon Prime. It'll be here in 13. Yeah,
right. Next day delivery.
I think it's got to be tough to have relationships in that field because you're already I think there's a certain, I don't know, ego or attention seeking that's needed.
Yeah, and I also think that, like,
and now you're with someone who has the same needs.
Right, but also, I don't think you know your value. See, a lot of these people assume they're, like, multi-million-dollar super properties because they're in, like, various film franchises, but it's like, you're just a face. You know, as soon as your face stops working and you're just fucking glued to alcohol or whatever vice it is that you become stuck to, like, you're not Natalie Wood or you're not fucking, you know, the kid from Terminator, what was his name? Terminator 2, Hasta La Vista, baby. But like, there were a lot of like those kid actors, especially in my era, who kind of like they literally were in like the most important, like even River Phoenix, Joaquin Phoenix's brother, died outside of the Viper Room because of, you know, taking too many drugs. And it's so it's so played down, but it's like, he fucked up on drugs. Like, he's a great actor. Don't get me wrong. I love my own Private Idaho. Him and Keanu do amazing, but it's like, there was consequences to their actions.
There was some sort of hole there that he was trying to fill with drugs.
Right.
I think in entertainment, there's a lot of broken people.
Yes. And also with River and Joaquin, that's a future episode because they came from the Children of God cult, which we will definitely cover and maybe have to do a two-parter because it's so vast and insane. Wow. And the story ends in like Jason Voorhees-esque revenge. But like, also, it's so fucked up. But like, all right. I guess if there's anything you can take from this episode, it's that Hollywood is not a fun place to go to. Stay home, make videos with your friends, make bands with your friends. Don't go to fucking LA. With your
friends.
Indeed. So, like I said, she divorced from Robert Wagner, whom she had previously married and divorced. Wagner and Wood remarried after she divorced her second husband. She acted in only two feature films throughout the decade, but appeared slightly more often in television productions, including a remake of the film From Here to Eternity in 1979, from which she received a Golden Globe Award. So she is talented, and I've seen her in movies. She's... I mean, again, follow our Instagram page, because I will definitely post a picture of her. She's a gorgeous woman, very charismatic, very funny, and it's sad. So we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty, because I think at the very... So I'm going to go with a biography.com article, which I kind of took from and injected my own stuff, but basically what it is Natalie Wood was an on again off again flame for Robert Wagner. They went out on a boat and she drowned, and the story was so kind of black and white afterwards. I would say that they did no favors, because there wasn't like precise evidence of a drowning. Christopher Walken happened to be on the boat at that same day. He's a famous actor, also phenomenal actor. If nobody said it, like, I love Christopher Walken. He's amazing in King of New York.
He's great in that Fat Boy Slim video.
I feel like that's the moment that he became the almost meme of Christopher Walken.
Right around there. And there was someone who did an impression of him on Saturday Night Live in that, I think, in that time period as well. That's interesting that you brought that up. It is kind of when he became a meme of himself.
I mean, I've always loved him. Always been a fan of his movies, so this is an interesting story. Again, I'm just breaking it down. They're all in a boat. She drowns. So we're going to talk about this and kind of break it down. On November 29th, 1981, according to biography.com, written... This is coming from June 12th, 2019. So...
fairly recent.
Pretty current. I wanted to say that because I know I always go out of my way to kind of like do the research when it comes to people I'm fascinated with. And she's a very fascinating person. There's a great, I think it's an HBO documentary that's just about her life. So she was from a lot of different acclaimed things. We talked about Miracle on 34th Street, Rebel Without a Cause, and West Side Story. She was found floating in the Pacific Ocean off California's Catalina Island in a flannel nightgown, a down jacket, and wool socks. Wow.
Wool socks.
So, I mean, doesn't matter where you are, you're going to be hot as shit.
Yeah.
Wool socks with a down jacket and a flannel nightgown?
It must have been. Yeah, I mean, it could be pretty cold, I would imagine, on the ocean.
I mean, yeah, but it's like, I mean, if you're preparing yourself to jump into the water, I get wearing that. But if you're being murdered, why would you? So this is where
you should definitely I'm getting murdered clothes, is what you're saying.
Right. You should be out there in a bra and panties. Yeah. Okay, so it soon emerged that Wood had spent Thanksgiving weekend aboard her yacht, Splendor, with her husband, actor Robert Wagner, her Brainstorm co-star Christopher Walken, and the ship's young captain, Dennis Davern, before an accident of some sort left her lifeless in the water. So on November 30th, Thomas Noguchi, chief medical examiner in the LA County Coroner's Office, announced his determination of an accidental drowning. He noted the superficial bruises on Wood's body, likely from falling in the water, and the scratch marks on the yacht's dinghy, Prince Valiant, as evidence of her attempts to climb on board before succumbing to exhaustion.
I mean, you don't want scratches on your dinghy.
No, no.
That's terrifying, if anything, though.
You know, I like a nice kiss on the tip.
on the tip of the dinghy, yep.
Yep. And a good rub with the thumb and maybe, you know, like some attention. But yeah, no, this sucks. Like,
yeah, that's fear.
If you go by that, that's a horrible way to die. Like, so in this version, if we're pausing to examine, you can imagine Robert and Chris, drinking some tall beverages and just being happy bourbon. And like, right. Oh, yeah, totally. Drinking some bourbon, drinking some grade A Hollywood bourbon.
You're
on a yacht.
You're talking early 80s. So you're talking when people, you know, people would drink openly, like on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carter. They'd be hammered and it was like acceptable.
Right. Yeah, for sure. It would be like early versions of this podcast. So they're Ryan in the first 50 episodes of this podcast, just fucking blasted, just hanging out, probably smoking. I wouldn't say smoking weed, maybe.
Possibly.
With Hollywood, you can't throw that out. Coke. But I also just, yeah, probably some coke. I'm fascinated she was the only woman on the ship. Mm-hmm. And what's also crazy to me is that what she was wearing when she drowned.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of nuts to me because, like, if that to me says she came out of the... So if I'm envisioning this, I'm imagining Chris and Rob are drunk as shit, having a good time. And then literally comes upstairs. Go ahead. Well, I'm saying they're drunk. She comes upstairs like confused, slips on some fucking ice or, you know, she's cold. So she's probably telling him, hey, can we shut some of the windows or something? Yeah. And then slips and falls into the water. And he's too drunk to hear it or something. Like, that's what I can imagine if this is
real. It's interesting because it certainly doesn't sound like suicide the way she's dressed up.
The way she's dressed up, I would have immediately said she fucking fell off and you drunk assholes did not hear her screaming and clawing at the side of the boat.
Yeah.
Like, if I was the first person on scene and I had to go based on what we've talked, I would basically just be like, you guys fucked up big time. And, you know, if that's the case, I do feel bad for all involved because it was probably a party and it felt like it was going to be fun and maybe Natalie was really good friends with Chris and he was a good looking guy at this time. Like I think he was single, but I don't think he was such a charismatic actor, like having him hanging out with like an old Hollywood style actor guy on a boat, just probably spinning some vinyl or tapes or whatever, having a good time. And then literally she just does a fucking penguin flop into the water and they're just like, oops.
Have you ever been to a party where just one thing just spoils the whole thing? Like I was at a party once and someone fell face first into the fire and it changed the fucking mood immediately.
Yep. I've been there and I've done that. That's why I'm so happy I don't drink anymore because it's so embarrassing when you're at a party. Well, I was thinking about this earlier. Do you remember the friend that you had that was like the super loud friend? He was like, hey, like we're at a movie theater. I'm just going to like pump my fists in the air and like scream really loud. And you're like, no, don't do that. And then he's literally drawing attention to himself.
That's probably me. I do laugh. I laugh loud in movies. It can be.
Well,
but I know what you're saying. Like too. The guy who needs the center, the spotlight on themselves, so to speak.
Right. Well, and this is what I think is crazy is that we all have those people, mm-hmm. and some of us used to be that person that mm-hmm. was attention drawing, but we always reform. Like, I was definitely the louder friend.
Me too.
Like, I would call yeah. things out.
That's why we and podcast. Be silly.
Right, exactly. But no, it's one of those things where it kind of makes sense to me that we would be louder people, but also eventually you hit a wall where you're like, no, I don't want to be that person. Right. I don't want to call everything out. It's embarrassing to be there. You just like if you're at a movie, you just want to have a good time. With my antics, it always tended to be like, let me call out something and make a big show of it. But also, I was just calling attention on myself.
Yeah, I know that.
So
feeling.
It was like, yep. Yeah, it's, and you don't need to be that guy.
The second you realize you're like, oh, they don't think I'm funny. They find me annoying. And you're like, wow. It's like, you're like, whoa, I just figured it out.
Well, it does suck because it's like, you know, I think genuinely in our heart of hearts, we just want everybody to be joyful and laugh and have a good time. But I think that for me, it was always a problem because I wanted attention, but I also wanted people to feel okay. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you can't accept responsibility for being the person that makes everybody else feel okay.
Yeah.
They're always going to be preoccupied with things. You're going to meet women like your beautiful wife mm-hmm. who are going to take your breath away and it's going to be amazing. But at the same time, you can't assume that you're the best thing that's ever happened to her. Mm-hmm. You can just help her. You can help her to believe that and hopefully guide her in a way that's going to make her be better for herself. If that makes any sense. Like it ends up being this thing where when you're growing up, you assume that like throwing a big pomp and circumstance kind of show and being super loud, you're going to draw a lot of attention, which is great.
It's peacocking
for that time. Exactly. It's totally peacocking.
Ugh. Peacock. Ugh. We can microwave that bird too.
Yeah, we can throw that in with the robin. We'll make it happen. Mm. Delicious burger. Bird burger. So
on November 30th,
Thomas Noguchi, chief medical examiner in LA County Coroner's Office, announces determination of an accidental drowning. Mm. He noted the superficial bruises on Wood's body, likely from falling in the water, and the scratch marks in the yacht's dinghy. So, 2 days later, Hollywood mourned Wood's passing at a star-studded funeral marked by a teary Wagner kissing her coffin, and the investigation was formally closed on December 11th.
Okay.
So,
it's about 2 weeks later.
We're going to... Right. So we're going to take a break.
Okay.
And when we come back, we're going to talk about the questions that got raised after people stopped crying for Natalie and started wondering, what happened to that beautiful starlet? We'll see you on the other side.
The untimely death of Natalie Wood during the filming of Brainstorm. Did that make that entire experience painful for you?
Oh, sure. I mean, it was... In so many ways, it was a terrible thing.
Did having a coworker and a friend die change your attitude about living, Christopher?
Well, I suppose confrontation with the sudden absence of somebody you're working with and know for anybody, it's bound to make a difference in your life. Yes, sure.
How do you feel about the way the media handled the fact that Natalie Wood did die during the shooting of Brainstorm? How do you think that was dealt with?
They handled it you know, in the only way they could. It was a shocking thing, and I think everything happened that, you know, was going to happen.
Do you think that the real story of Natalie Wood's death has actually come out?
The real story of her death is that she drowned. And nobody knows how she drowned or what happened except her. That's what it is. There is no real story. You know, there is... Nobody will ever know.
Child star goddess on a silver screen. On me. Natasha, Natasha, a Russian princess. The destiny of fame and starlet success. Well, I said, Natalie Wood. I said, Natalie Wood. Her mama and the tattle said it was no good. Since I have what I have with Natalie Wood.
We're back on the interwebs. Me and my bestest bud Lawrence, we're talking about Natalie Wood.
We are.
An actress who died. Oops. My bad.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, right. There's no good way to talk about this other than, yeah, she was great and she died.
Yeah.
We don't know why we don't. Well, we do know why. We know why, we know how, but we don't know the intention. So we're going to get into it a little bit more from our biography article. Which says, associates raised questions as recollections changed. So things, stories got a little divergent.
Interesting.
If you will.
Interesting.
Although an accidental drowning seemed fully plausible, nagging questions lingered for those paying attention. Noguchi himself raised some of those questions in his 1983 book, Coroner, which Coroner is like a really dark name for a book.
Yeah.
Why, he wondered, did Wood Natalie slip out to the yacht's stern in the middle of the night and untie the dinghy? Where was she going, and why did it take so long for the men aboard to realize she was gone? I can tell you right now, it's called booze. But then again, we're going to keep going. Wood's sister, Lana, who followed by publishing Natalie, a memoir by her sister in 1984, was also puzzled by the supposed chain of events. How is it possible that Wood, with her long-known fear of dark water, would venture out into those very environments alone on a starless night? Now, that's kind of terrifying, to die by the worst fear you have. I mean, that would be like me dying because I get suffocated by... tits, I guess. I don't know. Well, that would be like my favorite thing. So I guess I don't know. My worst fear, I guess. What would your worst fear be, Larry? Like
worst fear? I guess that would be me dying, being eaten alive by spiders.
Okay. That's rough.
Because that would take forever.
That would be terrible.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah, it would take forever, one, and two, like, you have to lay there long enough for that to happen.
Yeah.
It's like, no, nah, this is not cool, man. Yeah, no, I...
What's yours?
I guess my worst fear would be...
loneliness.
Probably something to do with claustrophobia. Which I feel like our lady of the podcast, April, could kind of back me up on. But basically, like, being in a situation where I have no control over...
Like that dude who had to cut his arm off because he fell into that crevice of the rock.
Oh, yeah. Like, 127 hours.
Yeah. Like stuck in a small area. Yeah. There's people who do those... little cave diving videos on YouTube, and I just can't watch it.
It's too small, yep. Man. I've also heard about a lot of people drowning in those spelunking. Like they go to Mexico and they're like, yeah, this is cool. I can spelunk with some Mexican locals, and then they get caught.
Mexico, known for their government regulations.
Dude, go ahead. You know what's funny? It's funny because I have to bring this up because so the one time I went to Mexico and I had a great time. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Go to Mexico, people. It's a cheap trip. It's very fun. And it's so, 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 so comfortable when it comes to weather. So I went to Mexico, one of those all-inclusive Cancun trips with my stepdad. Mm-hmm. And literally we got up one day and we're like, let's go paddleboarding out into the ocean. Okay, cool. Dude, the current ripped our asses out. Really? Like we signed like a waiver that was like, had like a pistachio tape to it. And it had like, hey, by the way, don't die. Please.
I agree not to die. But it was like,
but if you do die, just understand it's exactly. So like we all sat down in our little canoes or whatever and just shot out into the ocean. Like I've never been on a ride where I've been more like, holy shit. I watched my stepdad's canoe flip over. So he's out.
Oh shit.
I'm like, shit. I try to wave to my brother, but the waves are so big, I capsize.
Oh, no.
So not only is dad down, but older brother is down. I grab the side of my boat, and I watched my brother-in-law paddle out, and he's trying so hard to stay neutral on the waves. Like he's literally getting pushed to the point where he's like going over. Like every time I reach up to grab him, I thought I was gonna die.
Wow,
like there was a moment I literally looked at my stepdad and I'm like, cool, this is how we both die.
This is how it goes. Oh, that's scary.
Right. And then by some freak thing, he pulls back up. We help my stepdad. I'm trying. I mean, I've never exerted this much energy. Mm-hmm. Like, I probably lost 20 pounds just trying to get back onto the boat. And then the second that we did, the current pushed us so hard back into the beach.
That's good.
Like, it was, but at the same time, it was like, this fucking ocean is so unforgiving.
It does like, not forgive.
No, I'm like,
I've watched the Japan tsunami from what is that, like 6-7 years ago? I can't remember how long ago that was.
Yeah,
and the power that the ocean holds is insane. You have no chance.
None. You have no chance,
and that's gotta be scary. I mean, you're watching. You think you're kind of watching your stepdad die,
right? Yeah, no, I was literally looking at him like, I'm going to drown. He's going to watch me drown while I'm trying to help him. And then my stepbrother like waddles out there and he's just like, hold my oar. And like, he kind of saves the day because he's found a way to stay neutral on the waves. The waves were punishing. Jeez. Like every time a wave hit us, it was like getting smacked in the face. Like it was just like, boof, boof. And I'm looking at my dad. I'm like, get on the boat. Like, don't worry. And no one talks about this. Like, we literally got back to shore and we're like, yeah, everybody's fine. Let's not talk about that anymore.
So how was it?
But I remember, and I'm like, yeah, everybody was going to die.
That's scary. I once watched my dad, we were bringing in a pontoon boat into a dock, and he went to step onto the dock so we could help pull the pontoon boat and get it tied up. He slips, falls backwards. It sounds like to me, because we can't see, sounds like he smacks his head. And I'm like, fuck, I got to jump in the water because he's probably out cold, but he was fine. But that it's scary to like that fear of like, oh, my God, I just watched my dad die.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I thought that, too. Like, as soon as I saw him capsize, I was like, oh, game over. Yeah. This trip just sucked ass. Like, we were having fun.
Yeah.
It's eating all the tacos and drinking all the tequila, but literally I just watched my dad flip out of a boat. Ugh. And it's funny because it showed me who I am as a person when things hit the rock. Because I jumped out of my boat thinking like, fuck me, but let's save this guy. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up making it worse because I was like in the water and they're like, how are you going to get back on your boat? And I'm like, I don't care. Is dad okay?
I didn't think that far ahead.
I didn't. I definitely didn't.
Oh,
You know, it is the, and I'm sure there's listeners of this podcast who can kind of identify with that sort of thing, but it's like, you know, I guess at the end of the day, it sucks because there are people that we all love. Like Larry, you've got close family. You knew especially, and like a lot of my closest friends, we have elders that like hold that sacred spot. And it's like when they, I wouldn't say he screwed up because he hit a wave in the wrong direction. And I just felt like,
what do you do? What do you do?
Right. And my first reaction was jump the fuck out of the boat and try to save his ass. Like, I was so worried about it. I didn't even think about my own life. And it is one of those things where it's like, you know, you look at it and, retroactively look at it and go like, why, you know, I should be smarter about that. I had three daughters back home, but at the same time, I was also
you're just running on instinct.
I guess if you want to put it in kind of in podcast retrospective, like it would be like if the four of the main hosts of this podcast, you know, were out there and one of us flipped over, like I know that of the four of us, we would all jump out to kind of try to make things, you know, be okay.
You have a split second. That's what it is. It's a split second decision. And in more times than not, you're going to do what you think is the right thing to do.
Right.
Did we
talk about why April and Josh are not on tonight?
No, we did not. We just blew right past that.
Shit.
That's all right. We can explain now.
They're beautiful. Well, we'll just say that they're, if you're fans of the show and you love Josh and April like we do, they're finally having a date night.
They don't get to do that. That's a luxury I have, but they don't get time just to themselves, and they need that. They're a couple. They have to have that time.
And Josh is a good enough guy that I think he realized, like, I need to have this night. So we just were like, okay, well, And Larry brought up the idea of just doing a two-man thing, and that's why.
Old school.
So, elaborating on things in the 1986 book Heart to Heart with Robert Wagner, the actor described how he and Walken were engaged in a political debate for much of the evening.
The way he words that makes it sound a lot more deep than a lot deeper than I think it actually was. Because we surmise that they're definitely drunk on bourbon or whiskey or something.
Dude. That more than anything confirms my idea that they were drunk as shit.
So they're hammered on bourbon trying to talk politics. Yeah, okay.
We are surmising the government regulation and its effects on relationships with Canada and Mexico.
No, they were just, they're hammered.
I feel like Walken was probably the more open-minded guy of the two of them.
I'm thinking they had opposite feelings on politics. I have a feeling Robert Wagner, old school conservative.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Christopher Walken, liberal.
I buy this completely. And eventually when this movie gets made, I hope they take that. Oh yeah, yeah. No, she's super fascinating as a character. Mm-hmm. Because not only is she like, it's weird because she's kind of like a Sharon Tate. Sharon Tate being the kind of the penultimate victim of the Manson murders.
Which, again, coming up soon.
Probably
a good maybe 20 episodes away, I think.
A bit. Yeah. No, we're a bit away from that. But yeah, that's totally coming up. That and like Son of Sam.
That's right. We haven't done that one. That'll be a good one.
I just finished the doc on Netflix, and I'm so in love with that story. Right. I think it's fucking fascinating. But anyway, let's keep talking about this, because this is fascinating, too, to me. So they were in a political debate for much of the evening, prompting his bored wife to check out the discussion and head to bed.
I have a feeling she's the only sober one, and there's two drunks arguing politics. She's like, fuck this, I'm out of here.
Right, so we're talking 1981, that would be
Reagan.
Carter? Oh, Reagan. Okay, so Reagan. All right. So I was thinking 80, but I'm also thinking in Friday the 13th release schedules, because I'm a weird horror
fanatic.
That's
what you're into right now.
It's hard because I'm trying to break my mind to that. But yeah, so we're theorizing Reagan. So we're, first year Reagan. So Robert Wagner was pretty happy about that. Christopher Walken. We're guessing.
We don't even know. We've just assigned that to him because he's old.
Dude, I'm telling you, I guarantee that's the way it is. It just
feels like that's the right thing to say.
Oh, for sure. No. Yeah, it's legitimately, it's the way things are going. So Robert theorized that she was unable to sleep with the dinghy banging against the yacht and fell and hit her head while attempting to tighten the line. So it was one of those things where there was a dinghy.
She got hit in the face with a dinghy.
Happens to me every night, lady.
The best of us.
However, his recollection of impassioned discussions differed from an original description to Belise, in which he admitted to arguing with Wood about her extended time away from the family. So he was upset that she was off filming.
Interesting.
But then again, he's an old school actor and he doesn't need to be bitching about anything. Like, if I'm going to sympathize with Robert Wagner, like he's the 40 something like handsome actor guy. Mm. And she's this, I mean, gorgeous smoke show of a woman. She's
piping hot.
Yeah. And she's, you know, she's doing good work. I mean, I don't know what you want. Do you want her to be in a Ronald Reagan commercial cutting grass and making biscuits? I mean, I don't quite understand what do you assume your smoking hot girlfriend from 1981 is going to be doing that you can't assume that. I guess it's because I've dated enough smoke shows in my time, mm-hmm. that, you know, for me, it's like, well, it seems like she was a smart person, especially from the work that she chose. Well,
yeah, I mean, to memorize lines, you got to have some sort of intelligence.
Right. And I think that in some ways, an actor will choose an actress, especially that he's going to marry, and assume she's going to play a role in some ways.
Yeah.
So,
okay, I can see that.
So I think, and again, I'm looking at a picture of the two of them together, and I understand that he really likes her. And he has this kind of look of smile for the cameras, but when the cameras are off, like, shut up, bitch, kind of thing.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
That old school hierarchy in the relationship. Like, it's not a team sport. I'm the leader and you just follow me.
Right. Right. Like we're posing for photographs, but it's mostly for me to remember that you were smoking hot and you better suck my dick, bitch, cuz cameras are coming off here in a minute and yeah. So don't be stupid.
Don't scratch my dinghy.
Yeah.
Handle my dinghy with care.
You scratched my dinghy. Like, he's just, he says mad.
Drunkenly on bourbon. You scratched my dinghy.
And meanwhile, Christopher Walken is just like,
he's Christopher drinking.
Why
did you scratch his dinghy? No matter how like absurd and over the top you make a Christopher Walken, it still doesn't match his fucking energy.
No. And then meanwhile, when you do that, she just falls off the side of the boat. Flannel pajamas.
I am sick of this drunken political discussion. She just threw herself into the ocean. God damn it, I hope a shark eats me.
She's literally like, let me just wear some flannel pajamas, some rabbit skin slippers. Let me just put this fucking like insane outfit on, yeah, and jump in the water.
Not even
looking for starfish.
I'm gonna wear concrete slippers and just throw myself overboard here.
It's the worst political debate I've ever heard.
This is bad. Where are my cinder block slippers? Going overboard.
Right.
Goddamn, so, Christopher Walken's voice is just driving me over the edge.
I get it, man. Like, I'm picturing him the whole time, literally like, hey, you know, like walking up trying to just calm Rob down because he's had way too many Buffalo Trace sips. And like, meanwhile, his wife is in the fucking snow pants suit from fucking A Christmas Story, just banging on the dinghy, and he's trying, he's, he's trying so hard to rationalize with this guy.
Why?
Meanwhile,
she's banging on the dinghy. Robert, we were talking about Reagan. Why?
I mean, it's a rough time for these two, for sure. But at the same time, like, Natalie, she did come up because they were...
Could you just doggy paddle to the boat?
Yeah. I mean, she probably tried. And again, like I said, she's a phenomenal actress, and I hope she was around now. I mean,
yeah,
we have a lot of people from this era. And, you know, even Glenn Close and Meryl Streep, kind of our finest American actors, they were of the same kind of age. And, you know, I'm glad they're still around because they make phenomenal movies. It's like Daniel Day-Lewis. Mm-hmm. Like, I wish the guy would stop fucking making shoes and come back to making movies. But unfortunately, he made one movie.
You know, that dude's probably fucking making shoes in character, because he's always got to be in fucking character.
I know. It drives me nuts, because he's literally
a cobbler.
Yeah, of course he does. Literally. And he's probably working in some, like, weird, you know, like, German city where he's literally like, I'm a cobbler now. And meanwhile, everybody talks a different language, and he's just like, can you please speak Daniel Day-Lewis?
And he's not just a cobbler. He's a cobbler within this certain 7-year period that he has nailed down and has got the accent and the mannerisms and... But it's, like, specific to that. No one else would even have a fucking clue.
Exactly.
Can you imagine?
Exactly.
They said he stayed in character for that Abraham Lincoln thing. Do you think, like, he would walk around and act all confused when he saw cell phones? Like, he saw technology and just acted confused? Like, they went to pick him up in a car, and he's like, where's the horse? This buggy is horseless. How does this horseless buggy run? It must be magic.
He throws his fingers up like a cross.
Cursed are you! I am Abraham Lincoln. Actually, he did a way higher pitch than that, but you get the point. Why is this screen filled with moving pictures? I unloaded my feces, I pressed this button, and it swirled in a circle and disappeared. What is this witchcraft? You mean to tell me you are able to communicate with other people with that rectangle you're holding up to your face? What is this magic? Like, we get it, Daniel. You're in character. Knock it off.
Yep. He was too good. He was too good. Fuck. I love that. No, but what Larry did so expertly, and he always, I love this about Larry, because he threw this out there to be like, yes, I know in the Lincoln movie, he speaks super high pitched. Yes.
I'm addressing the problem there with my impression. I get it.
And I love it, because it's true, though. It's like, if you get too swallowed in the impression... It's so silly to me, because I've known even Heath Ledger, when he played the Joker in The Dark Knight, was one of the most celebrated kind of character things that we've had in, like, the last 20 years or whatever. He was super jovial with people off
camera.
Off camera, yeah.
So
he
didn't stay in character. I would have imagined he would have. I don't know why. Look, what I know about acting can fit on my thumbnail, but...
Well, he based that impression off Tom Waits.
Oh, no enough. Shit.
Yeah. Oh,
that's fascinating.
Yeah, it was based off Tom Waits in, like, I want to say, like, 1979. Is literally on a talk show, and if you watch the way that Tom Waits talks, it's almost verbatim the way that Heath Ledger does his Joker. It's
so crazy that it zeroed in on such a specific thing.
And I think it's great, too, because it adds a nuance to the character. But he was also a big fan of the comics, so he was able to find a way to marry a kind of impression with the lore. So, yeah, no, I think I love that sort of thing.
That Joker performance is so amazing.
It is. It's hard to I'm a diehard to my core Batman 1989 fan. Like, I adore Jack Nicholson and Michael Keaton. I think
they took a more of a comedic approach, I think.
Mm-hmm.
More of an old school Adam West approach to that.
Which I love too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny because I can appreciate. Yeah, well, 1966 or 69 Batman with Adam West. Phenomenal, fun movie.
Yeah.
Like, you can watch it even to this day and have a good time watching it. Like, Cesar Romero is amazing. Burgess Meredith as the Penguin is amazing. Adam West, obviously, is amazing. I mean, there's a reason that people, like, adored him. Mm-hmm. So, we're talking about old school Hollywood actors. I think Natalie Wood would have been a great Catwoman.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it.
Throwing it out there. Meow.
What do you... So, I'd be curious to know, like, what are your dream actor castings, if you have any of those?
Oh, I guess it would depend on the movie. I always...
Okay.
You know, I love Goodman, John Goodman. I think he's an amazing actor. Can throw him in anything.
Yep. He was phenomenal in The Big Lebowski.
Yes.
One of my favorite movies, and also your favorite.
The whole casting movie for that movie is amazing.
It's hard to question a movie directed by two brothers who are phenomenal, like, cinema lovers. Like, you get that from that movie.
Gosh.
I don't mean to put you on the spot. Fine. I'm sorry.
I'm trying to think of younger actors, because, I mean, you got to get some youth into your movies, too. Robert Pattinson.
Yeah.
We'll throw him and John Goodman in a movie.
I think that would be good. I think Robert Pattinson, he's the new Batman?
Yes.
Oddly enough.
Oddly enough, he got COVID and he's playing a bat, so...
Right. Well, I like him as that character, because the way that they're spinning it, at least in the trailer, is they're playing him more as a vigilante, and I like that aspect.
That's interesting.
The earlier era of Batman comics are so much better. Like, full disclosure, we talked about Beer City Spaceship. Me and Denny are huge Batman fans. Engineer Denny.
And there's a throwback.
We've talked so much about this because we both believe that Michael Keaton was the best Batman in the 1989 Batman, because he's got to be a little wily, because obviously he's fucking crazy. He dresses like a bat. Like, yeah, he's got to be a little nuts.
A little.
And, like, everything else tried to make him more serious. Like, I dress like a bat because, obviously, and I'm Christian Bale. Crime.
Well, the police already do that. No, I'm going to do it on my own terms. Really? So how are you going to dress? Like a bat. Okay, fucker. The fuck is wrong with you? Also, by the way, you're fucking rich. What are you doing?
Movie done.
Like, the whole thing doesn't really make sense. I do like
it. Doesn't
it? Does, I mean, make sense that he's a vigilante? That's like a twist. I was like, yeah, right. Like the fucking cops are going to work with this guy dressed as a fucking bat, going around busting people right. with made up inventions.
Right, and that's the thing that's crazy about the whole Batman series is that it's so all over the place because you have people committed to these characteristics, like the Joker being. Like, he's got clown makeup on, which is fine, and then the Riddler has a costume on, so it's so you're so committed to this kind of
over-the-top
character. Yeah.
And also, Robin is always missing out of these Batman movies, except for the one.
And right, and it's, Robin is fundamentally probably more part of the Batman mythos than any Batman movie has ever explained.
Not there, and it makes no sense to me.
Well, I think that a lot of it has to do with people's. I think it has to do with people being worried about there being a character in a movie and it seeming like how do I say this? It does seem a little child manipulate-y, if that makes any sense. Like, is Bruce Wayne, does he have a kid that he's sleeping with that he's, you know what I mean?
No, it's a Matt.
So there's a lot of.
It's like Matt Gaetz and his adopted son, Nestor. There's nothing wrong with that. What's weird about that?
Nestor!
What's weird about adopting a 19-year-old kid as your own? I don't see the problem here. Elvis Presley agrees with me.
I get it. But it's always so fascinating to me to watch the way that they kind of go that route. And I think they did a pretty good job of explaining the Batman Robin thing.
Robin thing was always funny because it's like, I'm Robin. How are you going to dress? Oh, I don't know. Like the Hamburglar, but in hot pants. I'm just going to look like the Hamburglar, but I'm wearing neon yellow fucking hot pants. That doesn't seem like, strange.
Batman literally just crushes a man's face for robbing like a family. He's just like, Robin, where are you? I just took out the Riddler. He turns to the right. Robble. And like,
cheeseburger.
Yeah, right. Like, god damn it, Robin. Can you have a little bit more like oomph?
Like this, no, Batman, he's like, look at him like that's how you're going out, huh? To dress like that. you're gonna be dressed like a fucking cat burglar. What's going on here?
Yeah.
Well, you're dressed like a bat. Like, who are you to judge?
It's true, exactly. I could understand Robin and Batman's perspective,
I'm dressed as a bat because I'm just trying to fit in. Like, and the whole still thing to this sticks day, out like a sore thumb.
It does. What's funny to me too, and we've been fucking diverging like crazy, yeah, and know. That's fine because whatever, who cares? People like this.
Yeah.
So what's crazy to me, more than anything, is that all of the serial killers of all time, right? I was thinking about this today because I obviously, like I said, I've been watching all the Friday the 13th movies. All of the serial killer horror movies, they have masks. And I thought to myself, like, well, wait a minute. Was there a serial killer that had a mask? None of them.
No, I mean,
but we buy it in those movies because it makes sense. It's weird,
yeah,
how that diverges. Because, obviously, we've covered Ted Bundy, we've covered Richard Ramirez, we've covered Richard Chase, Ed Gein. None of them, I mean, well, I guess you could say Ed Gein wore a mask.
Yeah,
but he more so wore a titty mask. He didn't wear a face mask. He just
didn't wear it in public.
Right. He literally walked outside of his house and was like, I'm finger blasting myself because I'm a pretty girl, which I get. So we're talking about Natalie Wood, obviously, and Robert Wagner. This whole story is kind of tragic, and I think at the end of the day, it's hard for us to weigh in, which we will do. We're two friends who we have thoughts about this whole thing. So, however, his recollection of impassioned discussions differed from an original description to police in which he admitted to arguing with Wood about her extended time away from the family. It was just one of the many inconsistencies that surfaced as accounts of the night's events evolved over the years. So there was some feeling that there was a disagreement between the two of them.
Funny how he kind of whitewashed it in his book. Like,
right.
Interesting.
Interesting, Robert. The ship's captain, toot toot toot. I don't know why it's funny to me to think of like a ship's captain, but yeah, there was a captain at the time.
It sounds so I'm the captain. Like if I'm rowing a boat, does that make me a captain? Can I call myself a captain if I got a couple oars in my hand?
Yes, and you can immediately tell anybody else what rank and rate they have.
I have a captain's hat, and I will wear it.
You would be a great captain.
I think I would be.
I don't even know what it entails,
but
just don't like, sink your ship.
It's so funny. It's like you drive a boat, and now like all of a sudden you like have the same like clearance as military people or something.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like you literally.
Here I am. You're driving around some rich bitch and her old husband on a yacht. Like I'm fucking captain. God damn it. They should make a cereal named after me called Captain Crunch. And I'm going to tear the roof of your mouth up with that shit. Because I'm the fucking captain.
Hey, you like the roof of your mouth? Well, here's some fucking raspberry flavored fucking shred paper.
We decided we'd take wheat, sugar, milk, eggs, and somehow form it in the shape of roofing nails and make your kids eat it.
Captain Crunch announces roofing nails.
I need four letters to spell my name. C-A-P-N. Cap'n. Cap'n Crunch.
Yes, roofing nails cereal coming this fall.
Under the guise of Crunch Berries.
I saw
in nature. We found the wild Crunch Berry. In the deepest, darkest corners of Africa. The ever so... Fucking pass that shit off like it's real.
We found wild crunch berries in Africa.
We did. We found the. We'd hire a guide to find them.
Yep. So the ship's captain.
I think captain is like the most bullshit title. Like you can be.
I do too.
I have a boat. I'm a captain. Oh yeah, I got a plane. I'm fucking Captain Harrison Ford. Watch me as I crash land this thing into a barn. It's probably owned by another captain.
Oh, shit. I love this premonition so much, especially being like ex-sailor. Like,
yeah, you know,
I do, and it's super funny to me because all the captains I dealt with were literally the same people. They were literally like, "Where's the roofing nails? I want to rip up my fucking throat."
I'm a captain. What do you do? I steer a boat.
Yeah, right.
That sounds difficult. Yo, no, not really. There's no other boats out there. Just really nothing to hit.
Nope.
Said the captain of the Titanic. It's like, I found the one fucking solitary thing and I drove right the fuck into it.
I did the same thing as a kid. I literally was driving a snowmobile. This kid was like, hey, you want to drive the snowmobile? I'm like, yeah, this is cool. Vroom, 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 vroom. Went into an open pasture, one tree, one solitary tiny tree. And I smacked the shit out of it so hard, I launched myself backwards like 100 feet. The kid stayed on the snowmobile. Like, I woke up after blacking out. Jesus. And then, like, I looked down, and this kid's just, like, limping, coming back with the snowmobile. My dad's just like, oh, my God, my kid's dead. Oh, my God, my kid's dead. Like, he's just running out into the snow, and I'm just like, what happened? I hit the one tree, smashed my knee on it, and then lost myself backwards.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Right, right. I did my
sir, the Titanic's heading towards an iceberg, so are you gonna do anything?
No,
we're good.
Well, I feel like the kid that was on the back side of that seat is probably told that story a million times. It's like, literally, I was riding with this kid. I mean, he was the dumbest piece of fucking shit you could ever meet. There was literally an open field for 3 miles in front of us, except for one tiny tree, and this bitch smacked it.
Fucking centered it, right? Didn't even clip it, just centered it.
Yeah. And he wondered why he had to go to the hospital that night. But anyway, the ship's captain came forth with his version of events, still with Wagner sticking to his general version.
Was he wearing the way too tight white pants?
Dude, I got hit on so much when I wore dress blues.
Me?
Oh my God. You could basically see my colon from behind. I mean, those things are so tight. It's stupid. Like, me, you're choking your balls.
Not for me, man. I would look I can only imagine I'd look like I'd look like a water balloon wearing a rubber band. It's just like, I'm sorry, there's way too much sausage for this casing.
We got more than we paid for with this guy.
The fabric is Jesus. Like, oh, come on. Really? It's not what I signed up for.
I give up. So, all right. So Wagner sticking to his general version and Walken saying next to nothing, the case likely would have lain dormant if it weren't for the efforts of Davern. After years of trying to get publishers and tabloids to bite on the story, he began leaking more revealing details to the mainstream press. So in March of 2000s, a story for Vanity Fair, the captain divulged that Wood and Walken had been flirting throughout the weekend and that things turned nasty after the foursome returned to Splendor after an evening spent drinking on the island. According to Davern,
who's the each other or her?
Yep. No, Walken and Wood.
Shit. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah, Walken and Wood were flirting with each other. Yeah, that, okay. Yeah, that kind of makes sense. I mean, they were like, they were on the same show.
Right. No, they were pictured as kind of the penultimate couple. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Natalie Wood and Wagner were, but then Walken kind of walked in and was like, hey,
I'm Christopher fucking.
Right. So, Splendor, after an evening spent drinking on the island, according to Davern, Wagner at one point smashed a wine bottle on the table and yelled at Walken, "What are you trying to do, fuck my wife?"
Whoa. Whoa.
Yes!
Wood stormed off and slammed the door on her room, with Wagner eventually heading down to confront her, setting off what Davern recalled as an epic fight. He claimed to have heard the dinghy being untied before Wagner returned, sweating profusely.
Interesting.
Wow. I mean, that sucks. You don't want to be...
Yeah, I mean, I know I profusely sweat when I'm trying to get my dinghy off.
Yeah, no, for sure.
It's the only, so at the point, it's the only cardio I get.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, there we go. My fucking...
I saw your mic stand kind of...
Shit the bed.
It did.
All right, there we go.
I gotta get me one of those mics. Those look nice.
The mic's great. Yeah. The stand is
shit.
It's so... With Walken in bed for the night, the two remaining men stayed up for more drinks before Wagner, at around 1:30 a.m., said he would check on his wife. He returned with the news that he couldn't find her, prompting Davern, the captain, to conduct his own search. At that point, the captain recalled, Wagner rejected his suggestions to turn on the floodlights and look for wood in the water. He said, "We don't want to do anything, Dennis, because we don't want to alert all these people," the actor allegedly said before they finally radioed for help.
What people?
I don't know.
That's interesting.
Wagner revisited the case one more time in 2008, his memoir, Pieces of My Heart. There are only two possibilities. Either she was trying to get away from the argument, or she was trying to tie the dinghy, he wrote.
It's a hell of a way to get away from an argument. I'm out of here! Splash!
I don't think she did, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, that's the verdict, yeah.
But the bottom line is that nobody knows exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. So he kind of... Okay, so the case was reopened in 2011 and later reclassified as suspicious. In 2009, Davern finally published his long-gestating tell-all, Goodbye, Natalie, Goodbye, Splendor, which was the name of the boat.
Hmm.
2 years later, he was among the 700-plus people who signed a petition over the flawed investigation into Wood's death, prompting the L.A. County's Sheriff's Department to reopen the case in November. The following summer, the L.A. County Coroner added emphasis to the newfound urgency by changing the case of death to drowning and other undetermined factors, citing a closer examination of bruises that suggested Wood was assaulted.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we're going to finish this up here, but yeah, another wrinkle emerged in February 2018 when the Sheriff Department reclassified the death as suspicious and named Wagner a person of interest.
Ooh.
Following interviews and former neighbors and fellow boaters. At almost 90 years old, Wagner was no longer interested in talking to the police about his wife's death.
Hmm.
Still, it was clear that other people were, leaving open the possibility of finding some real answers after four decades of question marks.
Woo! Yeah.
Wow. It
gets interesting.
That's Natalie Wood. I mean, that's the best I can...
No, it's a really good summation and, you know, coverage of this. You hit on all the big things. Mike's stand sucks.
It does.
You might want to get like one of these boom mics I use. That might work better on that style of mic.
I think I finally got it all set up. There we go. Only happened to be
subscribe to
3 hours and
subscribe to the Patreon so Ryan can get a proper boom holder for his mic.
It's fine. I'll work with what I got to, but at the same time, it's like, if you want to subscribe to the Patreon, help us out.
Just go back to the beginning of the show and we tell you where the website is.
Yep. So, Larry, one of my closest friends, if not a brother from another mother.
Definitely brother from another mother. No one ever says a brother from a different father. Even though I have a brother from a different father. And I have a sister from a different father.
Interesting.
That's the thing that exists. Show them some love.
It does. Well, next time I do that, I will.
Okay. Is it time for a verdict?
It is.
Yeah.
In one corner, two brothers from a different father.
Who can swim?
Who can swim? That's true. We can.
I got my badge in swimming in the Boy Scouts. So.
Good to
basically,
know.
That means I can keep my head above water.
Aww. In the other corner, we got Natalie Wood and Robert Wagner.
And me!
Who lived...
That was a bad... Wow, that was awful. I'm going to erase that. That didn't even happen. Thank God I'm editing. Going to remove my shit.
Fuck, I can't erase my shit? Fuck, I need to learn how to edit. And, so Natalie Wood, do we think that she was murdered or she fell off the boat? And I gotta ask you, but I can go first because normally you are the last person, but I can fill this one in if you would like.
You know what? I'll tell you what. This at the beginning, I was like, oh, this is an accidental drowning. But after hearing the captain's take on things,
right.
Here's what I think. I think Robert got Christopher Walken, Christopher Drunken. Got him drunk, so he wouldn't know what the fuck was going on. He went to bed, it sounds like. And I think he may have chucked Natalie Wood overboard. I know that sounds dark and funny, or funny and dark, but, I mean, there's only three people, there's only three other people other than Natalie who would know what went on, and if Christopher Walken is drunk, he's going to have no idea. And the captain's busy steering the fucking boat. I think Robert Wagner did it.
I'm going to agree with you.
Wow.
Yeah. When I found out what she was wearing, that was a penultimate moment.
Because how do you fall off a boat accidentally? I mean, the railings are pretty high. I'm assuming if she's tall, she's my height. You know what I mean? Maybe a little taller.
Right.
And I'm not like, those rails go up to your chest.
Well, I think a lot of it is for me has to do with what she was wearing.
Yeah.
She was comfy, cozy, probably ready for bed, and she probably came out like multiple times telling him, like, Robert, stop drinking bourbon. I can hear Chris screaming at you. Please come to bed. And literally, he was just like, I'm old Hollywood, bitch. Mm-hmm. Like, you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for me. And then he's just like, meh. Like, Splash. And I hate to say it because, like, I mean, I think he's in some of our favorite movies, actually, the Lethal Weapon movies.
Yeah, those are great.
He might be. We might have to double check, but I'm really convinced that he is old Hollywood and she would have been new Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And by what she's wearing, there's no reason she would kill her. Like, that would be like if I'm going to go kill myself in a sauna. By the way, I'm going to wear all my clothes.
Yeah.
So why would you wear flannel? Why would you wear flannel pajamas to drown? That doesn't make sense to me.
Right. You wouldn't get dressed to do that. You wouldn't try to prolong it.
And she's a smoking hot woman. I mean, like, if he's going to throw her off the towards the dinghy or whatever, even if she came out in just socks, like, she's going to look amazing. Mm. And it's going to make sense that she would jump off if she was upset. But I think she was happy. And I honestly think Robert Wagner killed her, and that's our verdict.
Well, I think that's a first.
Yeah, I do too.
Yep. Right.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. What are we at on time on this one?
At an hour and 36 minutes. And that's without Josh the human clock telling us.
He is a human clock.
He is. We'll have him back.
We'll have him back next week. We're going to talk about something awesome. But yeah, I want to show appreciation to my co-hosts and really please. And this is coming from me, so no one can step on this. But I want you guys to check out Big Old Britches on Bandcamp. Please enjoy his beats. He's an incredible musician.
Thank you.
He doesn't get enough credit on this show, but he, if you love this show, like if you're an old timey listener, you really owe it to yourself to check it out. So that's where I'm going to throw my hat.
Well, thank you. Listen to Glassfield. Mm. I got the honor of a recording, and was it an EP, I believe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really, really fantastic EP. Your brother is amazing on it. Scott with the guitars. I didn't get to meet the drummer. He had recorded those tracks before me, but definitely give Glassfield a listen. Also, Mr. Bosco, a.k.a. Mm-hmm. Josh, I guess he's got an album dropping soon.
Very soon. I feel like when this comes out, it should be out.
It's around that
He said March 24th or May 24th.
Yeah, I think that's the day this comes. Wait.
2 days.
Yeah, so when this comes out. No.
This will be a
week after it comes out.
Okay.
If you're keeping score at home. So it would have come out when the Chris Cornell episode drops.
Yep. Yeah. And we'll link. Yeah, I mean, if you like our Facebook, join our closed group on Facebook, but also follow us at Conspiracy Tea Show on Twitter, because
I think the Instagram is definitely the place to be, though.
Yeah, people seem to love it, and we get a lot of messages, and sometimes you gotta bear with me because I'm not used to so many people loving something on Instagram. I have a pitiful Instagram where I occasionally post things, and it's weird because every single time I open Instagram, there's like 20 or 30
wow
things going on, like That's direct crazy. Messages. Thank you for following us on there.
Definitely.
And we post memes, but we also post content. And if there's any suggestions you have for merch, or if you're a fan of our podcast and you would love to have a shirt, please hit us up at conspiracytherapyshow@gmail.com.
I think we're taking steps towards that, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That's kind of what I'm getting at, because I need help. realistically, I need help. Okay. And I've been to different merch sites, and I think that April did it before, but for me, I kind of know as a fan of podcasts, and not just a fan of podcasts, but also a fan of just like media in general. Like there are certain sites you can find where you can get like decent merch. So yeah. I want us to be that thing.
Well, I
get you guys stickers and merch.
Suggest, yeah, sure, definitely stickers. I think we need some Josh Beard oil. Some April branded mushroom cream of mushroom soup. Cream of mushroom soup. There we go. We need some we need some nice ice water tumblers from Ryan to keep yourself hydrated.
Nice.
That's a good idea.
That's true. That's a good idea.
And we could I don't know, we can make some white glasses frames for Larry. That'll work.
I would love that.
That's a signature item.
I would have to say I'd be curious to know, because you're the man when it comes to remixes from the show, but I feel like the masterpiece of this show is going to be when you do Shoop by TLC.
Oh,
but it's the Shoops.
It's going to be about them. Oh, I have, yeah. I have a whole, I got about six songs definitely written down that I'm going to a parody.
Well, if and you enjoyed,
everybody's going to be a target except me, because why would I target myself?
I'll figure
Josh
something
or you
out.
You will have to do that.
Yeah, I'll figure something out. But you know, I thought about that today because I loved your last. Oh my god,
the toilet's on the fritz because Josh is taking shits. Yeah.
It's the best. And I just thought, like, if we can come up with something for Larry, kind of catch him off guard, yeah, that would be fun to do.
I welcome it.
Oh, I know you do. And that's why it helps. All of us, like, were so excited. I think we all just, like, stopped breathing for a second because we're like, a new Larry song. But yeah. You're a treasure, sir. Thank you for doing this.
It was great to kind of do an old school. No offense to Josh or April, but I mean, sometimes it's good to get back to the roots.
It is. We're the
OGs. I mean, we've been doing this for, I mean, God, when did Beer City Spaceship start? 2013?
Yeah.
So it's been it's been almost a decade, dude. That's crazy.
I know.
That's about how long I met you. It's so funny. The origin story is basically Marty introduced me to Ryan, and I think the very first thing, very first conversation was about fleshlights.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. God. People are going to listen to this who know me. Yeah, I have one.
Okay.
And
it's
fucking awesome. I'll tell you that much. It's a lube hog, though. There's a fucking truth corner for you.
That's true. Hey, you know what? If you've got a fleshlight story, send us a message.
If you've got a dinghy that needs some attention. You don't want to scratch up your dinghy.
Yeah.
Get the Natalie Wood fleshlight.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Rest in peace, Natalie Wood. Here we are.
She's driftwood by now. She's dead. That's funny, Larry.
Jesus Christ. I love it.
What's wrong with me? Why didn't my parents pay for therapy? I would be so much better off. I'd be normal. Now I'm doing this. This is our legacy, Ryan. This right here lives forever. People ain't gonna hear it. Oh, God. Oh, and on that note.
All right. Holy shit, I'm dizzy. All right. All right. All right. All right. Well, yeah, we don't have any sound effects. We love you guys. We'll see you next week on another episode of the Conspiracy Therapy Podcast. Have a great one, guys.
I was walking all alone down the Hollywood Boulevard. You were talking on the phone, but I was looking at the stars, splendor in the grass. Well, it was still on my mind, but things just move so fast when love is blind. Did you ever think it could be like this? We could stop the world with just one kiss and it'd never be the same. I'm standing here without you now. I can't believe you got lost somehow. I'm just staring at your name. Your name. She sang a love song from Hollywood. Was it all too much? I guess I never understood. I'm just standing here on the star of Natalie Wood.
This has been a presentation of Beer City Media.